We go from Angelo to Gino.
Hey!
How you doing?
It's like the Italian break over here.
Gino Auriemma, head coach for UConn women's basketball, entering his 35th season. 11 NCAA championships, 20 Final Fours, I believe 12 consecutive, 6 perfect seasons, and 49 conference championships. Do you get annoyed that when you're not having one of these seasons, people are like, hey, what's going on over here?
What's today, like Honor the Vowel Day with all these Italians?
That's right. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Hey, how you doing?
Right, right.
What the hell's going on? You got to get your quota of Italians on? You try to slam them on there all in one day?
Of course.
It's Italian Friday.
It's the Italian feast.
Italian Friday.
Yeah, it's a San Gennaro, yeah.
I'll tell you what, the only time it gets annoying is, you know, when people expect you to win a national championship every single year because you've done it so many times, anything short of that. I've told the story before. You know, I was going for a walk a few years ago. We got back from the Final Four, and a guy stopped me on the road, and, you know, and what's up? I said, nah, you know, hey, how you doing? And he goes, hey, coach, can I ask you a question? I said, what? He goes, what happened? I go, you know, I thought he was just a, like, you know, busting my chops, you know, because my buddies will do that. You know, I got friends that, you know, we win 111 in a row. I don't hear from them. We lose one game right away. Yo,
right.
What's wrong with your team, man? You know,
smile with you. And money in the game over here.
Those kinds of friends. So I'm thinking this guy just wants to give me a hard time. And I said, nah, you know, I guess we just weren't good enough. He goes, no, seriously. I mean, like, what happened? This guys, like, they weren't ready. They, you know, freshmen. I said, you're shitting me, right? Cool. And he says,
right.
He says, no, you know, it's just that we're so used to, you know, having so much success here with women's basketball. I'm like, dude, we lost at the Final Four in a buzzer beater in overtime. You're kidding me.
Right.
And that's when I realized, you know, these people are, you know, and, you know, 1% of the population is completely out of their mind.
That's higher than that. That's higher than that.
And some of them have
and I'm
your
being
cell phone.
Generous. I'm right. being generous yeah. with the 1%. I'm not even talking about the guys who listen to your show.
Thank you. Yes. No, you are correct.
I believe this will be a show promo.
Yes, I second it.
Yeah, you
hey,
know what?
You should make this a Friday morning special, man, you know?
That's right. Oh. We'll have you on every Friday.
Gino's thoughts, yes.
I read Wooden's book, and he had the same problem, and it's a great problem to have. It's surprising, but you know what it's like for us? It's like going to a Superman movie. You do not expect Superman to get roughed up or lose the fight.
Right,
you know?
Exactly,
so
yeah.
We see you as invincible.
Yeah.
And then when it doesn't happen, we're like, well, what happened?
Where'd the kryptonite come from?
How did that happen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but I'm 66, and John Wooden was younger than me when he called it quits because he couldn't stand the pressure of having to win every single solitary year. You know, and if you read the book, you know, the one that Seth Davis wrote, you know, when they were recruiting Lew Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you know, the assistant said, Wooden didn't want him. And he was, like, shocked. He goes, what do you mean you don't want him? Like, you act like you don't want him. Because he knew, if I get this kid, we're going to have to win 3 more national championships. We're going to have to win every year. And he just didn't want to deal with that anymore.
Too much
it's
work.
Crazy.
Right.
It's crazy. Some people say, you know, the only thing worse than losing? Winning all the time.
That should be a T-shirt. That should be a T-shirt you guys
you
have.
You should wear that on the side, court side.
Yes. Oh, my God.
It should be on the back so folks can see it.
It's brilliant.
But, you know, the flip side is, you know, when somebody starts to criticize you when you don't win, you go, yo, kiss my ass. I got 11 national championships. Right?
That's another T-shirt.
That's what it says on the back.
That's another T-shirt.
But it's got to have the yo in there.
Yeah, it does.
Absolutely.
Yo, comma, kiss my ass.
Gino's got a shirt on again.
Quotation marks on and everything.
No, we're so lucky to have you in this state. Mm-hmm. UConn women's basketball is the crown jewel of this state, thanks to you and your staff and these kids who come in and play for you. You have a really good knack at picking kids, you know?
Well, yeah, we have been really fortunate, you know, and it hasn't changed in the 35 years or so that I've been here. We're getting the same kind of kids we got 35 years ago. They're just way better basketball players than they were 35 years ago. But it's the same kind of kids, you know, because once you start changing the kind of kid you get just to win, you know, it things kind of fall apart little by little, you know. So we're getting the same kind of kids. But I got to tell you, this COVID thing couldn't come at a worse time for basketball at the University of Connecticut. Not for women's basketball. Not for women's basketball. And obviously a lot of people have suffered, a lot of businesses. Hell, my restaurant was closed for 3 months.
I saw that.
So I'm talking about, like, our men's basketball. If this nonsense hadn't happened, you wouldn't be able to get a ticket to any of our men's Big East games this year. It would have been like the old days, you know, when Ray Allen and the Dove and you know, all those guys played, and Burrell, and, you know, it's going to be insane. So, yeah, you know, women's basketball for the last couple of years, you know, have been, yeah, the one shining light up at UConn, yes. But I'll tell you what, getting back in the Big East, the guys are going to be exactly where they were before. Trust me on that.
The media likes to make things sometimes when there's nothing there. Was there any – what was the relationship you had with Coach Calhoun?
The same one that everybody else had. None.
Right.
All right, so we're even. This is good. All right. I can relate.
You know what I mean?
Did he call you idiot too?
Yeah, people want they expect you to go out to dinner and hang out and all that stuff. Why? I don't. You know, right. He and I travel in different worlds. So, you know, why should I? And why should he? So I did my thing. He did his thing. And, you know, we both live happily ever after.
See?
Right.
Kept things apart.
And you mentioned COVID and being tough for the men's. How is it affecting your season? And then now the UConn budget, there was some news on that this week. Is that going to affect you and your staff or the basketball program?
Oh, yeah, I think it affects every program. You know, I mean, we've obviously some programs were eliminated, but every program has had to look, you know, whenever that happens, whether it's at your station, whether it's at your house, whether, you know, no matter where you are, you know, when you got a deficit, you can't just say it's business as usual. You know, you got to look at every single thing that you're doing and you say, okay, where can we be more efficient? Because, you know, back in the old, you know, in the Big East, when we had 16 teams and there was football in the Big East, and, you know, we were making a ton of money, and, you know, we acted like we were a Power Five school because we didn't, you know, we were part of that. And then these last 7, 8 years, whatever that we've been gone, we still spent and operated as an athletic department like we're one of those Power Five schools, except we the income wasn't the same. So, you know, we didn't want to cut sports. We didn't want to not be as competitive. But I got to tell you, and I think the people of Connecticut need to know this. You know one reason why the deficit is so big in athletics? I'll tell you why. Like, for instance, we have 400 kids on full scholarships. So let's say the average kid pays $30,000. That's what a full scholarship is for an in-state kid. You know, so before they were charging us for an out-of-state kid $50,000. Well, why don't you charge us the same for both kids? Okay, then they said, okay. Now it's like, why do you even charge us for a scholarship? It's supposed to be free. So
wait, the basketball program has to give the school the money for the scholarship?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, we have to pay.
That makes no sense.
And then at the end of the year, the university has to subsidize us. It's like the Three Stooges. Moe's giving to Curly. Curly gives it to Shemp. And then they give it back to Moe.
Right. Hey, Moe! I'm guessing this isn't the first time you brought this up, right? What's their reaction to that?
You know, and then I'll give you a better one, guys. When we play at the XL Center, we got to pay them to play there.
Wow.
And it's owned by the state.
This explains a lot.
Mind blown.
This explains a lot.
How about that? We have to pay to play at the XL Center, but the Wolf Pack gets subsidized by the Wolf by the XL Center, but we have to pay there. We have to pay to play there.
Doesn't make sense
to me. At Register Field, we have to pay to use the facility, and we get none of the parking, none of the concessions. We don't get zip.
Well, it has the word rent in the name, so.
So have you had a...
So we are renting it. You're right.
Rent your field. If they named it, you know, here field,
that's
free
true.
Field.
It's not called free field.
Yeah, free field. Right. Yeah.
Rent your field, so do the math on that one.
Yeah. I'm guessing you've talked to people about this.
You know, it's really just a shell game, you know? So it makes it look like... you know, like our deficit is this huge, incredible deficit. And what are you guys doing wrong? And blah, 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 blah. Well, guess what? If you eliminate all these nonsense things, then you know what? Our deficit don't look bad at all. It looks right. Like everybody else is in the country.
Right.
Which, you know what? People make a big deal. UConn Athletics, they run at a deficit. You think our English department's bringing in a lot of money?
Yeah, really. Yeah, how many wires are you cranking out there?
I love that he doesn't care. He might be walking across the campus and, hey, hello, English professor, how you doing?
What are they going to do?
What are they going to do?
You think the engineering or the philosophy department, they go up to the president and go, yo, dude, so it wasn't for us, this school wouldn't be making any money. Really?
Yeah, philosophy, forget about it.
Philosophy.
Yeah, you know, bartenders.
Right? We subsidize you. The university subsidizes you. The state pays for all that. Why? Because we have to have it. It's part of being a university. Now everybody loses their mind when you got to subsidize an athletic department. Okay. Well, you know, my buddy Ward, who used to be the AD here, at the end of the year, he told me at Michigan, he writes a check to the university for $10
million. Wow. Damn.
Why?
Take us a minute.
Because they get 113,000 people a game. And they've been doing this for 150 years.
Let's see, to the math.
And they have a stadium on campus and all that other good stuff. And then they expect us to beat all these teams, you know? And what do you think we got to do? We got to do what we got to do or we got to lose.
Right.
It's a miracle that we're even competing against those guys.
Right, it's the story of the wooden BO barn, right? You just you get the worst facility, but you just keep practicing and working really hard. And
we win because the people that we have, the passion of our fans won't let us lose. You know, they won't let us be bad, so we have to be good. And they don't want to hear, you don't have this, you don't have, they just say, yo, win, baby. You know, our fans, I think they're all descendants of Al Davis. Just win, baby. Don't give me any of this nonsense.
I don't want to hear why.
Yeah,
I just want to hear that you won.
I want results over here.
That's right. Well, you know, it's like one of my favorite movies, The Rock. You know, when Sean Connery tells Nicolas Cage, "Hey, I need you to do this," and he goes, "I'll do my best." You know, and Sean Connery goes, "Your best, your best." He goes, "Losers do their best. Winners go home at the prom queen." You know what I mean?
Yeah. Gotcha. But you sure like this, Schlag.
I love this man. I love him. Coach, we had you on the show like 15 years ago at Mohegan Sun. You said you were going to bring us some meatballs. Still to this day, no meatballs.
Oh, man. That is my fault. And I will rectify that ASAP.
We'll even go to your restaurant.
Right, we'll go there.
Do it. You know, we'd rather have you here.
You know what you ought to do? You ought to come up here one time. You know, we got upstairs and downstairs. You know, private dining. You know, you can sit there, do your show from here. We'll feed you everything you want. Breakfast, lunch, whatever you want.
If you'll be there, we'll do it.
I'll be there.
Okay.
Then we'll do it.
We're going to work it out. We know you're a man of your word.
Exactly.
But you got to let me spin some records.
Done.
Sure. Why not?
Done.
All right.
Done. Done, done,
good.
Done.
Good.
Deal.
It's done.
I want to be the hostess. I want to be the hostess with the mostest. You know what I mean?
Okay. It's up to you.
We played this for you. I know that people have a tough time pronouncing your last name, but this is a montage of one girl in one day of her mistakes trying your name.
Gino Iremia, Urema, 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 Gino Iremia.
Iremia to me.
Yeah. Where the hell did you get that one from?
Up. You
that's,
can't.
That's as bad as you could get.
Yeah.
Sound it out.
Hey, you might not be surprised to hear this, but when we went to the White House, right? And, you know, we're standing in the Rose Garden there, and, you know, President Bush is standing there, you know, he's talking about our team. And he's, you know, and he goes, and he says, and Coach Arininia, he goes, and everybody started laughing. He turns around, looks at me, and he gives me this big smile, and he turns back to the audience, and he goes, well, whatever his name is, however you pronounce his name, he's a hell of a coach.
This guy over here.
I said so much. I said, you know, so much for that Yale education, dude.
It's a party school.
Coach, thanks for coming on. Thanks for all the memories. Thanks for what you do for this state. And we'll see you at your place very soon.
Yes. Thank you.
You got it.
DJ Gino.
Yes.
Love you, man.